Join spiritual feminist and empowerment coach, Joni Advent Maher, for Trust Your Sacred Feminine Flow. Listen in for intimate conversations about money, transformation, and feminine sovereignty. And now, your host, Joni Advent Maher.
Welcome to Trust Your Sacred Feminine Flow. I'm your host, Joni Advent Maher, empowered living coach and spiritual feminist. And today I am delighted to have a friend, Lori Raymond, joining us.
Oh, I am so excited to be in the flow with you. given our story. So yes, thank you, Joni. Thank you.
You're welcome. Let me just share with our wonderful listeners a little bit about you. So Lori, I love this. She's a book startup and message mentor and a world traveling word genie, among other things. And one of the things that I love and value about Lori is that word genie aspect. And I know we actually had been scheduled to do this recording 4 days ago on Bastille Day, and Lori took the time to look up the word sovereignty before coming on, just to really get a sense of that. And I was so impressed. And I know I want you to share what you learned and how that all came together.
Well, I thought it was, you know, perfect that we had selected this date of July 14th for our podcast interview. And yes, I needed to research the word because I was struggling with how to pronounce it, and I thought, you know, how perfect on a day of freedom that the French are celebrating freedom, that we're going to be talking about sovereigns. Of course, you know, they got rid of those guys back in the day there in France, and this whole principle of sovereignty and how it means to embrace our power and authority. So I thought, you know, didn't know that when we scheduled the date, but it just seemed perfect. So, and now fast forward, here we are.
Yes, here we are on just the right date to come together. So I love you're also a heart-centered visionary and ideapreneur. Tell me what you mean by ideapreneur.
Well, it's a word I coined because what I know about me is that my personality, my travels, my experiences, I am never short for ideas. And ideas, I believe, come from the sacred divine feminine. They get expressed as what I call divine downloads. And we can call those psychic premonitions. We can call it intuition. So I am a person that is always constantly generating ideas for myself. And finally, someone said, Lori, why don't you do this for other people? And I said, wow, this sounds good because this just flows naturally to me. So yeah, so I'm not an entrepreneur. I really am an ideapreneur. There's really not a program or a project or a printed piece or anything that I can't look at through multiple lenses and offer my ideas, which some of them you might embrace or maybe not.
And I love that you really take just a multi-dimensional approach, because I know you're very linked in spiritually. I know that's a big aspect of who you are, and I certainly resonate with you there. But you're also looking at just these other dimensions of who we are, or who your clients are, who you are, as you're bringing all these ideas together.
Well, thank you for that. And I am very blessed to have known many queens, many women who expressed their sovereignty and shared their gifts, whether it was feng shui, whether it was numerology, whether it was their knowledge of the angel kingdom. And over the decades, I've integrated all of that. And so when I work with my clients, I really am able to see through those lenses. But those lenses, those pairs of glasses, if you would, came from the gifts that other women gave me.
Wow. So you have woven them together, it sounds like, in a unique form or unique tapestry that you can offer as part of your work.
Yep, I'd like to think so. Somebody actually said to me, Lori, one of your gifts is that you're able to synthesize. Say that five times fast. And I was like, well, say more. And they said, yeah, you know, you do have these unique perspectives. And the truth of it is, the word unique, I don't know. I'd like to focus on the word uni, meaning one, meaning there really are no new ideas. Elizabeth Gilbert talks about that, how all ideas are floating out there in the universe, in the ethers, and it's really up to us to find the way that we tap into them, pull those ideas down, as I said, divine downloads, and then put them into expression, whether it is our message, our books, our blogs, our podcasts, you know, whatever it is. But there truly are no new ideas. But and it's just up to us to, like I said, pull them down, whether it's through your practice of writing or meditation or walking meditation. Maybe it's chanting. And so I think that would be a message to women who are maybe in touch and want to enhance and increase their sovereignty, or maybe they're just new to the whole idea, Joni. You know, they could be like, what are we talking about with this sovereignty stuff? Come on. I mean, you know, it's too many syllables.
Yes, but what I'm hearing you say is that it's critical to have a practice.
I love that word. Yeah, and if you had said practice to me a couple decades ago, I would only think in the way of sports practice.
Yes,
and unfortunately, or fortunately, in my family, I have a 85-year-old mother who follows football rapidly. I have a daughter who's active in sports and follows baseball and soccer. And the sports DNA just skipped a generation. I was born without any sports DNA. So when I think practice, I think baseball and football, and I go, oh, hum. But you're absolutely right around practice. And so, you know, the question for me and for anyone perhaps listening is, you know, what do you have in your spiritual toolkit? And each day, what is it that you're going to for sure absolutely take out? You know, we take out our toothbrush every day. We perhaps comb our hair every day. You know, there's some certain practices we have for the outer. Yes. So the question is what's in your toolkit? What can you add? Maybe you need to delete some things because you're not using them anymore. Or they can just stay put. But I should say, and on that day, what will be your practice? So I have, for about 8-9 years, I have at least an hour-long practice that I call Divine Dialogue Writing. And it's a combo of prayer, meditation, chanting, and then writing. I like the writing part a lot because I get to drink my coffee during that time frame, my holy coffee and cream. And that is my sacred appointment, and it is not broken. It is rarely, rarely ever broken. And then I'm online. Then I'm in the world. And I love that cocoon as I see the sun rise over Tampa Bay. And I'm with my books and my journal and my candle and all that ritual good stuff that tells my body it's time for this practice. That's another thing. that if you're going to engage in a practice, there are clues that tell your body it's time for practice. I mean, example, if you're going to go to the gym and work out, you just don't walk in off the street or after grocery shopping. I mean, there's, you know, you put your hair up, you put on a bandana, you put on your gym clothes, and, you know, and there's just things that, and then you walk into the gym, there's a smell, that, and all of those things tell your body, and then there's music, and so even if you hear that music outside of the gym, you know, your body is going to go, oh, is this exercise time? So if you're going to start a practice, I just encourage you to think of those other sensory things that can support you, that remind you it's time. It's time to write. It's time to pray. It's time to whatever.
I love that. And it's also, it sounds like a piece of it is like the routine and the ritual that trains our system, our mind, our body to show up.
Yeah.
With certain stimuli. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if I were to describe my spiritual journey, I would liken it to a plant, and my roots are rooted in Catholicism, for which I'm very grateful. And I don't make the joke anymore that I'm a recovering Catholic, because the truth of it is I don't want to recover from my Catholicism, because it really provided the roots. And my dear parents took a family of three kids and made sure we were at Catholic Mass every Sunday for my first 18 years of my life. And so I come to ritual honestly, if you would, and so enjoyed and appreciated the rituals and the grounding that experience gave me. But then from there, my spiritual plant grew into metaphysics and studies of Buddhism and Hinduism and shamanism. So, you know, and there are more places for that spiritual plant to grow, but it is rooted in the rituals of Catholicism.
I didn't know that, and I appreciate you sharing that. My roots are in Catholicism as well, and
I didn't know that.
Yes, and one of the things I always appreciated, which still touches me to this day, is the music and the song, the songs, and those can still open a dimension of me that's both young and ancient, hearing that. So
beautifully said. Yeah, for me it is not the music, it's the smells. So when I smell, which is a part of my practice, different you know, incense and whatever, I can just close my eyes and I'm that little 8-year-old, you know, with her lace mantilla on her head, with bobby pins. Of course, you had to have bobby pins so it wouldn't fall off. And, you know, just in that quiet, large sanctuary, and I can just smell, and I'm transported back to when I was, you know, 8 years old. So the smells, you know, or burning candles and putting out the candle, which is, you know, also a part of my ritual. Oh, I so wanted to be an altar boy. I don't know about you, but I so wanted to be him. I think I wanted to, you know, and it wasn't the time.
Right. It was not. Right. So that brings us to the feminine, and how has that shown up in your spiritual plant and in your growth, and how has she influenced you in your journey? The divine feminine.
Well, first, I so appreciated the questions that you gave me. And when I finally focused on them, I thought, boy, this is going to be a 3-coffee cup assignment. And I said, but I'm up to the challenge. I'm up to the challenge. And as I reflected on, you know, what has been my experience of the divine feminine, years ago, someone, again, I'm just so blessed that people reflect back to me and gift me, but they said, well, Lori, my real name is, birth name is Lorraine, L-O-R-R-A-I-N-E. Huh. Lori was gifted to recently by my Scottish grandmother, who saw me a few days after my birth, and I was about 6 pounds, and said to my parents, "Oh my gosh, you can't name this little wee thing. You know, Lorraine is just too big, and we're going to call her Lori." Aww. And so that's the nickname. But a friend reflected to me, they said, "Lori, your name Lorraine means La Reina, which in Spanish is the queen."
Wow.
So I was really born with a name that reflects sovereignty.
Wow.
So, you know, no light load to carry. Okay, I can do this. But in reflecting, I realized that really being a teacher and a student has been a part of that expression. And so in elementary school, language arts became that expression of the divine feminine. And, you know, being considered the smart girl or one of the smart girls in school. And then also, it started to move into organization that I was a patrol leader in a Girl Scout troop, and loved being a part of that. And we had a competition where the patrol that had the most girls in attendance won something. And of course, I think our dues for that troop meeting were like 10 cents at the time, but I was inspired, you know. But I would say scouting was that first opportunity where I was with other women to start expressing my power, 8 years old.
Wow.
You know, and authority to have that kind of independence. But my real grounding came when I attended Judson College. Mm-hmm. It's in Marion, Alabama, deep south, wow, west of Selma, which is west of Montgomery. A college, and a women's college founded in 1838.
Wow.
Journey.
Wow.
Now imagine, this wow is pre-Civil War, which were, you know, which was 1860. And in 1838,
wow,
the visionaries thought women deserved the same higher education as men. So I attended that college and graduated, and in that really found my healing from the mean girl experiences I'd had during middle and high school. Mm. People couldn't believe I was going to an all-women's college. And that story is actually in a book called Gratitude and Grace. It became a number one international Amazon bestseller, published by Inspired Living Publishing. Mm-hmm. And I have a story in there that chronicles how I came to be at the college and why I chose to stay. So we graduated in 1974. There were actually 74 of us in my college class.
Wow.
And I'm delighted to say that I still see those 10 women who I consider my Judson sisters today. Mm. And they just had me back at the college this year for a book signing and to read that story. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So wow, fast forward from 74 to, you know, 2017,
wow,
that shared sovereignty doesn't have to be an alone experience. It can be a shared experience. And I really believe that that's what the divine feminine is calling out to each of us and to our communities and the world, that we all come together.
Yes.
For a better and higher purpose. And we can't do it as silos. We do have to become the tapestry. And in the tapestry, we are stronger. But, you know, I just so cherish the fact that I have that circle. I have many circles of friends, but that's the grounding, I would say, was the launching pad for me to really understand the divine feminine.
Yes, and it strikes me that you had grown into womanhood there, that you really had made that coming-of-age shift from being a young, you know, being a girl, being a young woman, to really being a woman, and to do that in community with other women who were stepping into their own leadership and power, if you will, it's a very special experience.
Well, I agree 100%, and I believe, that women's colleges are on the decline. Many have, for financial reasons, had to close their doors. But for me, it is so powerful that we always have choices. Mm-hmm. So for the person like me, even though I was absolutely boy crazy in high school and middle school, which is why people really just thought I had gone off the deep end to attend an all women's college, that it is about choice. And I just pray that those choices will remain so that people can have those experiences again if they choose.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I would love to hear about your work and the whole, part of what we talk about here is the relationship with money and your spirituality and your idea being this idea, I would say, just storehouse of ideas that are always coming to you, how your relationship with money and sovereignty, how that has all evolved.
Well, I would say it is still evolving, and it evolves, boy, every day. But as I was reflecting and really breathing and meditating and asking, how can I best answer this? What came to me was that money, for me, on one level, is a symbol of abundance, and that it's an energy expression. So having money allows me to give money. And the more money I give, the more money flows to me. Now, there have been times in my life where I'll fess up. I didn't have that kind of flow feeling. But if I reflect back, that's the truth, that when I'm a practicing person who ties 10% to people and to things. So I send checks off to different authors that have inspired me, friends who have inspired me, certainly different spiritual organizations. So it is all about that energy flow. And I just love it when there's lots and lots of money in the bank account, because yes, I can spend it, but I really do enjoy sharing it in places, or if someone asks me to support a cause, I don't have to think about it. I can just say, yes, I'm gonna send PayPal. I want to support you. You asked. I feel if somebody asks me for money, there's a reason, and I have a responsibility to seriously consider it.
Wow.
And 9 times out of 10, my answer is yes. Now, again, there have been times in the past when I was constricted and tight, and that comes from fear. Fear tightens and constricts us. And then money's like, gosh, I want to come in, and I'm knocking on your door with an idea, Lori, or a project or an opportunity. But girlfriend, I just can't even get in the door. You got it closed. And so I would say right now, the door is open and there just really is a lovely flow. The second part of that answer, Joni, is that money for me is also a symbolic spiritual currency. And Stephen Covey, who we know wrote 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, I got to hear him speak years ago. And he has a concept, if I had to only remember one thing, it was called the emotional bank account. And the idea behind the emotional bank account was, the more deposits that I make into your bank account with acts of kindness and compassion, the stronger and bigger your account is going to be. But it also means that my bank account is also going to be stronger and bigger. And the neat thing about it is as I make more deposits to your, let's say to you, Joni, that if for some reason there's a bump, which friendships and relationships are going to have, that means that, a withdrawal came out. I wasn't on time. I forgot your birthday. I maybe said something unkind. That's a withdrawal. But the hope is that if I am conscious about adding money, which means that spiritual currency of kindness and compassion, our mutual accounts are going to stay in the black. and I'm not in the red, and we're not going to get notifications that there's not enough funds. So that's how I'm looking at money these days.
I love that. Well, that is a perspective that we have not heard to date. So I really appreciate it, particularly your sharing about the tithing and what that has been like for you, and how good it feels.
I think yes, it does. And I actually have a list, I need to get it on an Excel spreadsheet or something. But actually, when I put myself into the framework that I'm going to win the lottery or a certain amount of money, I have a list of where I want to gift it, scholarship programs, this, that, just kind of, and yes, personal places and travels or gifts I want to give. But at the same time, I have a tithing list. So if I make, when I win $55 million, then I've got to tithe, $5.5 million. So it's like, wow. And that's a fun list to make. Yeah. Where am I going to tithe $5.5 million to say thank you for my spiritual support and inspiration? Mm. And that's a fun list to make. Yeah, it's a fun list to make. How are you going to spend your $50 million? And I would say to add that other activity of writing a list of where will you tithe? Where will you give back? If you don't like the word tithe, let that go. Where will you give back to those people and places and things that have supported you? And that can be a lot of fun, Joni, a lot of fun.
Yes, you're inspiring me. I'm going to give that a try. And I love that it really is a chance to revisit also and clarify what you value, like what you what you appreciate and also what you value.
Well, if you go back, oh my gosh, and you think of teachers, and you think of a seminar, and you think of books, or you think of a kind waiter, or, just or a phone call, or a person like Joni who's invited me on her podcast. It's like, well, get ready. Be surprised. be surprised. So, of course, yeah.
And that's why I was delighted to have you on the show, because you carry this sensibility and perspective, and yeah, thank you for that. That it's a generosity. It's a, I think your original name is very true. You have that queen-like generosity, which is beautiful.
I appreciate that, and it's like I need to be on podcasts like this where you're seeing it or feeling it and you're reflecting. And I also have to say I've done a fair amount of shadow work. Yes. And I've done work with the archetypes through Carolyn Meese and her archetypes. And so for the queen, there is the flip side of her power and her sovereignty, and so I'm aware that on a day when I'm not connected to source and I'm living more in the world than I am living through my heart, that the flip side, and I can show it, and I can be a royal bee and a royal bee, and in that I have overstepped my power or taken too much control and haven't been as kind or compassionate. And again, I go back to, it's around being fear driven, that I don't think I'm going to get the result or something that I need. And so it does mean taking that higher perspective, because when you look at a sovereign of a country, they are chosen supposedly to rule because they have that higher perspective. And in fact, they have that wisdom of Solomon. They have that third eye chakra, which we know is between your on your forehead, between your two eyes, right in the middle. That's your third eye chakra. And the color for that is what? It's a purple indigo.
Yes.
it's a purple indigo for, and I know some people vary it, but it's a purple indigo. And sovereigns, kings and queens, wore purple. And the reason they could wear that color, it's not necessarily the purple we know. The reason that they wore purple was because indigo came from the plants in the Far East in India. And only the kings and queens and wealthy royalty, but it was really reserved for the sovereigns, because they could afford the indigo. And so their clothing was colored. So that's why you see the color purple associated with royalty, that they could afford it, one, and it is the color of the third eye chakra.
Very cool. So as you're talking about the shadow work and looking into those aspects that we don't want to see, or that we, you know, that we kind of put at the back of the closet, it, and that idea of fear, you know, kind of fear versus faith, or being cut off versus connection, this idea of sacred feminine flow and how you have experienced that in your life. So I'm wondering from, you know, from that vantage point, how did you open to sacred feminine flow? Where in your life have you experienced that?
Well, again, I think it's always an ongoing thing. I think this conversation we're having right now is just a beautiful flow and, you know, a channel, and I'm feeling it like a, you know, like I can just see us being at the beach one day, and the waves are, you know, coming in and they're going out, and they're coming in and they're going out. But as I reflected on your question about this, I wrote another story, and it was in another best-selling book called Midlife Transformation, Redefining Life, Love, Health, and Success. And I wrote a story in there, and it chronicles my journey and my answer to a question from my sister, which was, what one thing would you regret never having done if you died tomorrow? So here is one, let me tell you, my younger sister is one sovereign queen. and my answer to her was not having a daughter. Now, so the story chronicles my heart's desire to know the experience of having a mother-daughter relationship. I left the USA, I left everything, and traveled to Honduras, where I taught after 20 years back in elementary school. I'd been a corporate trainer, a presenter, motivational speaker, had my own business, that whole enchilada. And life changes came about, and I went back to my roots, back to teaching. And my daughter was in my classroom, a third grade classroom, which I love that age. And fast forward, she was 9, and I was a single woman at 45, and adopted her.
Wow.
So the divine feminine answered my most sweetest, deepest longing, which was to know, not to have a daughter, I don't want to own my daughter, but to know a mother-daughter relationship. So imagine, she's 9 and I'm 45 and we're living in a third world country and I'm teaching, oh my goodness. So that for me, again, I put that in the book, Midlife Transformation, was probably one of the most seminal moments and expression of being in the flow with the divine feminine. Because if you told me when I was a teenager or that Girl Scout leader that I was going to be a single mom of an older child and a child of color, you know, it would have been, you know, oil and water.
Yes.
So yeah.
Oh, well, that really touches my heart, because actually I didn't have exactly your experience, but that sense of before turning 40, I had that thought of, you know, what would I regret if I didn't do it? And it was becoming a mother. And I too have a daughter and birthed a daughter. And that relationship is one of the most powerful vehicles for learning and teaching and catalyzing my connection with the feminine. So it just, it touches my heart that you are sharing that story with us. And at the end, well, we can just say now that if women are interested in reading that story, can they go to Amazon and find your work?
Absolutely. I do have an author's page, and all six of my books are there. So they can just, I'm not sure how you find it on Amazon, but you go under an author, you know, we have author's pages, and it'll just be my name, Lori Raymond, L-O-R-E, and then Raymond. So yeah, all both books mentioned, and both again were published by Inspired Living Publishing, for which I'm forever grateful. Mm. So yeah, for that story and other, because I share the book with, or the pages or the covers, I share that with, you know, anywhere from 30 to 35 other very inspiring women who really do understand and express their sovereignty.
Yes. Yes. So I can't believe it, but we are nearly out of time. So we're coming to the final question, which is in some ways my favorite. So from the wisdom of your years today and where you stand, what would you tell your younger self?
Mm. Well, I'd say this to little Lori, to that 8-year-old patrol leader in a Girl Scout troop. I'd say this to her. Remember that when someone is judging you, to remember this. Mm. What you think of me is none of my business. What you think of me is none of my business, because it would allow for the grace of detachment so that you can stay in your powerful sovereignty. And the second piece, again, I'm a Libra, I got to do two for balance. The second thing I would say to this little Lori would be, when the horse is dead, get off. There's no need to ever, ever, ever stay in a place, a job, or relationship where you are not happy. Hmm. When the horse is dead, get off.
Amen to that.
Yeah, we can ask everybody to shout wherever they are. Amen. And now we will have a Catholic song. No, I'm just joking.
Ave Maria. Okay, no. So I do also want to just let people know about this very special possibility that you have coming up that sounds wonderful, that you're going to be holding an event soon. So can you tell us about your writer's retreat?
I will. And thank you. So I'm inviting everyone who's listening to come join me in this beautiful part of West Coast of Florida, to my land of St. Petersburg, where I've lived for 34 years. There's quite a renaissance going on with the food scene, our art scene, the Dolly Museum, the Chihuly Museum. Oh, my gosh. Not to mention we're just on Tampa Bay. But it is the St. Pete Writing Retreat. The tagline is Renew Your Body and Creative Soul. It is scheduled for October 29th through November 3rd. So it's a ways away. You can make plans.
October 29th. Oh, yes. October 29th through November 3rd. Okay.
Through November 3rd. And the website is Writers, plural, writersvisionquest.com. I'll say that again, writersvisionquest.com. You can get all the details there. There is some great early bird pricing. There's extra pricing if you bring a girlfriend. There's just, because I want whoever is inspired to join us, Joni, to make it possible, other than me just writing a blank check, and maybe I'll be doing a scholarship program, we'll have to see. But my commitment is this. This retreat will be the best retreat you have ever attended. Now, that's my mission, my vision, and everything I'm doing, and it is going to be the best work I've ever presented in my 64 years with all this knowledge. It is more than women coming together in their sovereignty. It is more than a writing retreat. Yes, we're going to do lots of pampering. Yes, we're going to be on the beach. Oh, my gosh. But in addition, I have extraordinary people coming in who are going to add a dimension of, like, learning, who are teaching optional two-hour workshops. And these are from some well-known people on the topic of memoir writing, storytelling, and another woman who is gifting us to help us get rid of our blocks with theta healing, one of the fastest growing movements in the nation as a healing modality. She's going to do a two-hour intensive workshop around that. So it has a little bit of conference dimension to it. It has community, sacred community. And then, of course, it has the retreat experience. And this is all, believe it or not, we will work, but we'll do a whole lot of playing at a historic property here. So I'm just over the moon, and I'm just over the moon. So thank you for letting me share that invitation, because for everyone listening, your invitation is waiting. So check on it. See if it fits for you.
Excellent. It sounds fabulous. And yeah, Florida, that time of year when it's starting to get cool here up north, sounds idyllic. So Lori, thank you for being with me today and for sharing your wisdom and your generous spirit. I really appreciate it.
Well, back at you. My pleasure, my joy, and to be continued. And thank you for all that you do to allow these channels and these dialogues, Joni. So thank you.
Thank you. I'm taking that in. I'm rubbing it into my heart space.
Good.
Yes. And I want to say thank you to our beloved listener as well for being here with us today. And to remind you, until next time, always trust what your heart knows.
Thanks for listening to Trust Your Sacred Feminine Flow with Joni Advent Maher. If you like what you heard, the best compliment you can give us is to share our podcast with a friend and subscribe, rate, and review our podcast at iTunes.